Our sermon series, Experiencing God, continues this evening as we consider God's work within us and the church through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus has chosen to share himself with us through Holy Communion and empowers us as a community of faith through the Holy Spirit. We hear Jesus' explanations of the power of the Spirit's work in Acts chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 22. Hear the word of the Lord. Our first reading is Acts 1, verses 7 and 8. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Our second reading is Luke 22, verses 14 to 20. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite you to be seated, and please join me in prayer. Gracious Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness. We thank you that you indeed take us by the hand and lead us. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your voice to us and the work and power of the Holy Spirit. Now open our hearts and fill us again and again with your Holy Spirit, that we may experience your presence, your power, and experience your truth. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we explore experiencing God and what it means to experience him in everyday life, a lot of this sermon series comes out of a wonderful series, a Bible study by Henry Blackaby. And he has a whole team that has come around him and over the years and has expressed just simply the goodness of God and how we experience him can experience God in so many ways. But also, he is very good about explaining what is not the way to think that you are in God's will. And one of the things, when he talks about experiencing God through the circumstances in our lives, it is one of the trickiest points, I think, for many of us, because in our walk of faith, I know for myself, there's times where I think, okay, well, I'm in this circumstance, and it's going really well, therefore it must be God's will. Well, here's the question. If you're in a circumstance and you are really working hard for the Lord and it doesn't go well, does that mean it's not his will? Something to ponder for a minute. Because we think, oh, we're so blessed because it's going just great guns. It's really going well. Therefore, it must be God's will. So do you see the two things? But I want to set up the tension here a little bit for you as we dive into God's word here, because one of the things that becomes very clear right away in the Gospels is that Jesus does the Father's will perfectly, doesn't he? Perfectly. And where does he end up? On the cross. All right, we have the early apostles. We have Stephen, one of the great faithful followers of Jesus. And this is in the early part of Acts, in the early days or months of the church. And he is bearing testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the Jewish leadership. And as he is speaking, the question is he in God's will? I think it's clear from Scripture that absolutely he is firmly in God's will. But what happens to Stephen? He's stoned to death. And he dies blessing the people. Okay? Not cursing them, but blessing. We see Paul, the Apostle Paul. We see Peter. We see Silas. We see all of these early apostles going out and proclaiming the gospel. Here's the thing. Are they in God's will? Absolutely. And many times people are overwhelmed and the Holy Spirit comes and they come to faith and there's joy and there's contentment and there's celebration. But you know what? Luke, as he's writing and recording what is happening in Acts, is not shy about saying things like, and people in the town took Paul out of the village and stone beat him and threw rocks at him and left him for dead. Was Paul in the will of God firmly? Absolutely. Would you say, based on his circumstances, that things were going just swimmingly for him? No. In fact, other times, he's thrown into prison. Peter's thrown into prison. In fact, we have one instance where James is thrown into prison, the apostle. And you know what happens to him? He gets his head cut off by Herod. Looking at the circumstances, somebody might say, I mean, it's very tempting as human nature saying, well, that didn't go well. He must not have been in God's will. Do you see the precarious nature of this? When we think that positive, you know, we have a culture that really pushes positive thinking. And you know what? I'm okay with thinking positive thoughts and being positive in our conversations and all of that. But there's a point at which if we only rely on circumstances, we don't necessarily see what God's up to. In fact, isn't it true that Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me? Now, how's that for a circumstance? And you might be saying, I've got a cross, I'm going, here I go. And you're thinking, it's just going to be a great, wonderful day full of sunshine and rainbows. Well, what are you holding? A cross. Where might that lead? Crucifixion. Suffering. Or even death. And we see so many apostles face death. But you know what's interesting? As they did, they praised God as they did so. They went willingly. They served willingly. They laid down their lives. They washed they washed feet. They risked their lives to save others. In fact, there were many in the early church. One of the reasons that it completely changed the Roman Empire, which was just brutal, selfish. It was a selfish, brutal empire, is that when there was a plague in the towns, the whole family would leave to their country place, and they would leave their sick relatives to die. You know what the Christians did? They went and nursed those relatives back to health, and sometimes paying with their lives, getting the plague themselves. But you know what? They did it out of love. Because Jesus said, follow me. Follow me on this path. This wonderful, difficult, sometimes agonizing path. But follow me. And yes, you'll suffer. Maybe. But don't think as you're suffering that you're not in my will. Okay? Don't think, you might be caring for somebody who is in constant need of care, and you think, why is this happening to me? Am I doing something wrong? You know what? It may be that you're doing exactly the right thing, and you're exactly in the will of God. And God is saying, well done, sister. Well done, brother. You are in my will. It's a mystery, isn't it? Do you see the tension? Now, one of the things, and I've seen this, I have seen seminaries do this. I've seen universities do this, Christian universities who have said, you know what, we're going to build. We're going to do this. And here, just so you know, I'm not talking about Holy Ghost here, right? Okay, because we're going to build. But, you know, I love how we're doing it because we're getting the money in the building, right? But I've seen people say, big folks say, you know what? We're going to, if we build it, God will come. And God will provide all that money. So we're just going to spend it all. We're just going to take out a $40 million loan and do all these buildings. And we're going to say, come here, God. Come here. Bless us in what we're doing. Because we're pretty sure it's your will, right, God? Come on. Come bless us. Instead of saying, God, where are you leading us? Where are you leading us? And how do you want us to go? And I've seen there's a major, one of the just incredible seminaries, not a Lutheran, but it's a non-denominational, had to shut down an entire campus on the West Coast, had to actually dismiss a third of their faculty. And this was just 10 or so years ago. And because they hadn't waited on the Lord. Now, I don't know the whole story, okay, so I'm sharing that. But whether that was how that happened, I've seen it in other places. And I think sometimes in our own lives, and I share that not for you to look at some organization out there, but to think about how you operate. Do you say to yourself, okay, God, I really feel like this is a good idea. Come on, God. Bless me. And then if it goes well, you think, see, that was God's will. Where perhaps had you really sat back and said, God, where are you leading us? What path are you leading us down? Or what path are you leading me down? And let me join you in what you're doing. It's interesting, the word circumstance, because we look at our circumstances. And Henry Blackaby says this. He says, never determine the truth of a situation by only looking at circumstances. Okay? Never determine the truth of a situation. Don't ever say, well, it's going pretty badly. We must not be in God's will. Because it's interesting, because the word circumstance, it's an old, ancient word, but it has a meaning of, it literally means to go around or to be around, like circumnavigate, circumstance, to stand around. But it literally means to focus on a detail of small consequence. And when you think about it, when things are going, you look at what happened with Stephen and you think, oh, well, that circumstance was terrible. You know what? God had a plan. And he had a plan, and you realize that story has been told how many times? How many times has that scripture been shared? How many times has that encouraged the saints throughout the ages of the church? You don't know what your circumstance is and how, as far as how God might be using that, how he might be using it. I shared something there from Acts chapters 1, verses 7 and 8. And hear these words. He said to them, it's not for you to know. Do you hear that? Children of God, it's not for you to know sometimes. In what we see, there's some wonderful passages in Job where Job is just saying, well, God, I want to know. In fact, what have you been doing? And you know what God says to Job? Basically, it's not for you to know, but listen to what he says. Let me just read this from chapter 38 of Job. The Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, and he said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations, Job? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Can you hear God? God has a sense of humor. All right. Really? You know? You believe that your circumstances are so different or couldn't possibly be part of my plan, that I couldn't possibly work through those. God says, just hang on. Just hang on. I'll be with you. I will have you by the hand. Don't worry. I am at work. And notice this, it is not for you to know the times or the dates. The disciples were worried about it. When's this all going to happen, Lord? And he says, it's not for you to know. And he goes on and he says, the Father has set those by his own authority, but you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the ends of the earth. You know what? He says, Here's the plan. And you know what? He doesn't give us minute details of all the circumstances that are going to occur all through that. But what he does says is you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. You know when it came? On Pentecost. Read it in Acts chapter 2. And you know who got it? All the followers of Jesus. And do you know who has the Holy Spirit today? Y'all. And so what Jesus is saying to you is, it's not for you to know, but, and we could paraphrase this because this is before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit comes. No, this is a Steve paraphrase. I'm gonna just say it right like that. But Jesus is saying, but you have received power because the Holy Spirit has come. You have received power because the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you know how you have witnessed? Not only through your words and your testimonies to your neighbors, not only through that, but through your acts of kindness, through your acts of service, for your sacrificial love, for how you give to other people, how you love them, how you walk together as, how we walk together as community. The power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit has been given to you. And we're going to, you know, it's often when Jesus spoke and when Paul spoke, it's the you plural, y'all. It has been given to y'all, to us, together. And we will be his witnesses. And let's go on. Let's go on to that John 14 passage. I want to share this with you because he's asked, How are we supposed to know, Jesus? How are we supposed to know? What to tell people and how to know you? And Jesus answers them, and he answers us. And he says, I am the way and the what? I am the truth. He speaks earlier. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What does this world need? The truth that sets them free. And sometimes we think of truth as being, well, it's this phrase or this thing or that thing. What does Jesus himself identify as the truth? Himself. What does the world need? They need truth, which means they need Jesus. And you know, how do we, and we, you might say, I'm so nervous about that. How do we do that? How do I create those circumstances so that I can say those words? And Jesus said, I will take care of that. But when you share a word of truth, don't let it be, you're not a nice person, or you shouldn't do this. Oh, okay, somebody might need to hear that. God may lead you to say that. But primarily, they need to hear, let me tell you about Jesus and what he's done and how he's impacted me, how he's impacted us, how he's impacted my family, how he's impacted this world. And Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. The world has to hear me, has to hear this. And as we know him, we're going to know the Father as well. And I want to share this last set of verses out of Proverbs. Oops. There they go. They didn't make it. But it's right here. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He leadeth me, right? It's not, notice this, it's not trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your understanding, and in all your ways he'll acknowledge you and you shall direct his path. Is that what it says? It'd be easier if it was up there, but no. He's saying, you do have circumstances in your life, some really difficult circumstances. But he says, trust in him with your whole heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't lean on those circumstances thinking, well, this is bad, and therefore I must not be in the word. I must not be in his will. Lean not on your understanding, but acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Be in prayer. Be with the body of Christ. Ask people. Be in his word. You know, as we close out this time, you know, we're going to be receiving from the Lord the cup of the new covenant in his blood. And he says, this is what I want you to do. What's my will? Come and eat. Come and be together. Come and experience my promise, my presence. And that's part of us acknowledging him. We acknowledge him when we come up here. And when we come up here, we're receiving a mystery. We're receiving a beautiful thing from him. So as you come forward in just a few minutes, don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that in you we know the truth, and the truth sets us free, because you are the truth. You are the way, and you are life itself. Open our hearts, open our minds, and help us to lean not on our own understanding and looking only at our circumstances, but help us to trust you in wholly and truly. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.